God has watchmen upon the wall. God has set watchmen upon the wall. I might make it a little personal this morning and say God has set me to be a watchman. Now, I'd like to begin with Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now, that's a great responsibility, and there's more responsibility there than meets the eye just saying a watchman. A watchman can't be a dumb dog. He can't be a blind shepherd, as the Bible tells us that men will get that claim to be watchman and shepherd over God's people. And we have got to be constantly on guard. Eternal vigilance is the price of the liberty that God's people enjoy. Now, beginning in the first part of this chapter, Ezekiel 33, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land. Now, it didn't say just Israel, did it? It said upon a land. And I like the terminology that's used in these prophets. Prophetic messages that includes you and I. You know, when Jeremiah was talking about the land or that land, about God repenting himself of the good that he said he'd do to a nation or to a kingdom that quit obeying his voice. He didn't say Israel. In Jeremiah, where is it? The 17th chapter, verses 9 and 10. If that nation will not obey my voice that I blessed, then I'll repent of the good that I said I'd do to that nation, not just Israel. And in the terminology of this prophet, he said, God said to him, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. So he says, if the watchman though see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now God wasn't talking about a watchman out here at Rayford or a watchman at a military facility, a penitentiary, some correctional institution that got them up there high. They're always watching. They've got floodlights. They've got automatic weapons and other deterrents. Watching a barbed wire compound to keep people out that would like to come in, which is not very likely, but mainly to keep people in that would like to get out. Praise God. He's not talking about that kind of watchman. He's talking about the watchman of a land that is insecure because of God's judgments coming upon the land. Take watchmen and set them in your coast to watch and warn the people when there's danger coming, when there is a lack of security, when there is a tragedy about to develop because of some danger that's lurking in the darkness or out in the distance that the people are not concerned or they're not knowledgeable of. All right, he says, if that watchman sees the danger and warns not the people, I'll require the blood of that individual or persons at his hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, and the wicked man die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. If you warn the wicked of his way to turn him from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. The watchman is pure and free from the blood of people when he warns them of impending judgments and dangers that will bring untold misery and tragedy. Now, we're living in an age when we're right at the time of the end. And people don't act like we're at the time of the end. There's a lot of folks preaching end time prophecy, and they sure don't act like they believe what they preach. Tell you the truth about it. I listen to some on the radio, and I cannot believe that those fellas even believe. They're just preaching it because they read something in the Bible, and they spew it out with some kind of patronizing tone to be sure they don't say anything that's going to be offensive. They want to speak it in terms of finding favor mostly with a fundamentalist, and you read fundamental this and fundamental that, and if you read their slanted opinions and prophecies, you'll come out being as warped and twisted as they are. Like you read a lot of these fundamentalist papers, and they criticize somebody else that's not a fundamentalist or that's a neo-fundamentalist, and you read it and you think some of these preachers that are in the moral majority are corrupt because they do not adhere to the strict line of Calvinism, which is true fundamentalism. Well, Foote, I don't believe it either. Thinking, Master, don't go by their critiques, because it'll wind you up in a worse shape than they are. Hearing them criticize some of the men of America that are trying to persuade politicians and men in authority and people with money to join in some sort of a campaign to put a damper on this creeping socialism and humanism that's about to destroy America. Well, I know they're not Pentecostal, but thank God for them. I tell you, they're out here watching at least as patriots and trying to defend the encroaching dangers to our religious and personal liberty that the devil's about to steal from us. Well, don't listen to these old fundamentalists. Just because Jerry Falwell or somebody breaks with these old strict Calvinists, then don't judge him because they judge him. Praise God, pray for the man to get out here. If God's raised him up to be a watchman in that particular area, then let him watch for us. Praise God and do what he will to restrain these enemies, these liberals, from coming in here and stealing through court orders and legislation that's going to bring us into bondage and keep us from carrying out the Great Commission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and warn, as a watchman of God, of the dangers that are creeping and upon the church to destroy it here in this great nation. And when the church in America has gone into exile or has fled into an underground survival test because of these men, what do you think the church and the rest of the world is going to do? My God, help us to stand up and let the watchman cry out that God has raised up to warn Americans of this creeping paralysis that is paralyzing the Spirit of God with these mixed teachings that's being presented as liberation theology and a social gospel that is absolutely destroying the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to salvation unto those that believe it. My Lord, help us. Set up watchmen, Lord. Praise God. Set up watchmen. I like this scripture. In Isaiah, the 62nd chapter, this is what we need. Isaiah 62 and 6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Let me tell you what we do. We're not preaching Jerusalem. We're not preaching the gospel of Zionism. But I tell you one thing, the more we do to elevate the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true word of God, and to bring people back to the righteousness and holiness of God, the more closely we come to the time that Jerusalem will return to the Lord and Jesus will come and reign from Jerusalem over this world and bring 1,000 years of peace to this troubled world. That will never happen until he does return. And what we're doing can help bring Jesus Christ back to this world. I don't believe we're going to bring him back, but I believe it'll help bring him back. It will help. Praise God. What we do will help bring about the establishment of the kingdom of God upon this earth. Praise God. And it will cause Jesus Christ to become conscious of the pressures we're under, of the stinking demon forces that have risen up to try to put spiritual darkness upon this generation. And our lights will shine and dispel that darkness and put fear in the hearts of the enemy, because the Bible said the enemy likes darkness rather than light. And boy, the more light we put out here in our nation, the more forceful that the other sources of cries and voices that rise up to cry out in defense of our liberty, they will be stronger. And all together that we do, as we set ourselves to be at least a little watchman for the Lord, that everything we do in crying out and giving God no peace, keep not silence, don't give him rest day nor night, make mention of the Lord and cry out with our voices strong, dogmatically, praise God, standing in favor of everything that the Bible teaches and stands for, that we're on God's side, and that little bit of light will help dispel this Stygian darkness as has arisen upon this nation. And there needs to be light in every corner. There needs to be a voice lifted everywhere, here and there, over this nation, until the devil and these entrenched enemies of liberty are conscious that we're not going to take it laying down. We're going to fight and be willing to give our lives, our liberty, and our sacred honor in the defense of freedom and justice, as the Bible has laid forth.